from every situation. And he's going to use your experiences, your mess, and he's going to make it into his message, and you're going to help people.
Talks truth, live from the booth, always pizza 100 proof. She's bringing to you words of encouragement with the funny twist to feed your soul like nourishment. While you're listening, I hope you catch a feeling, cause Tina talks truth about hope, truth, and healing. So I hope you tune in to the radio. Tina talks truth is the only way to go.
Good morning. This is Tina Levine with Tina Talks Truth Radio Show. It's Wednesday. You're halfway there. Keep going. You can make it to the next weekend. It's only a few days away. Thank you for tuning in. This is 1GM Nation Radio, and we are going to bless you today. I know, I say that every week, don't I? But it's true. Are you not encouraged by all of these interviews and these guests? They're so special. They have such a heart to serve the Lord. Today's guest in particular is a very special friend. I met him over a year ago. I was working at a shelter with youth that were in foster care. And so they lived in our shelter. It was an emergency shelter as well. So these are youth that, you know, 3 a.m, they have nowhere to go. So they would come to our shelter and live. Had a community event, and I asked this incredible group of entertainers to come, and I met Damon, and he was actually one of the entertainers. And I tell you, his presence is one of obedience. He has a servant's heart. He's one of these individuals that he has a presence about him that's calming. He's patient. But I tell you, you get him on stage, oh boy. This is actually the man that wrote and sang and produced my introduction song, Idioms. Y'all probably know him from Idioms. That's his stage name, his rapper name is Idioms. He shares with us how he got that name. But first, I just want to share Matthew 19:30. But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first. I'm telling you, that verse is all about priorities. And his priorities are godliness and holiness. And his first priority is to God. He has a servant's heart, and he's going to share that in this interview. So let's just start off with prayer, and then I'm just going to hurry up and get to this interview because it is going to bless you. And we also feature his song, Sticks and Stones, such a great dedication to his son who had struggled with being bullied. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We praise you. Thank you. We thank you for another opportunity to be kind and loving and patient to your children. Lord, you created each one of us, and we love one another. In the Bible, it says to love thy neighbor. So we love each other. And that's what I'm just lifting up all of our listeners to try to do today. Just show someone that you are Jesus' hands and feet here on earth. Be a godly person. One of the things that I always share with my son in prayer before dropping him off at school was that when people see my son, I want them to see God. Don't want them to see, oh, Victor, oh, he's kind and he's loving. I want them to see him and say, how do you become kind and loving? And that way my son can glorify God and say, it's God. And God, we just thank you for the ability to love each other. And we thank you for people that have servants' hearts like Damon. So many of our guests on this radio show have had servants' hearts. They're obedient to you, Lord. And we thank you for that direction. We thank you for the spiritual guardrails that are put into our lives to keep us on track, to keep us focused on you, Lord, to keep us moving forward and not falling off that cliff, not falling off that spiritual downward spiral of getting all caught up into the politics and the negativity of the world. Lord, we're just focused on you, and we're moving forward, and we're asking you to guide our steps in the direction that you ask us to go. I ask for a hedge of protection around all of my listeners. If they're driving right now, if they're at work, maybe they're at home ill, or maybe they're in the hospital right now. I have some listeners that are in the hospital, Lord, and I just lift them up. Ask for a healing over their bodies from the tips of their toes up to the head. I ask for a special anointing on their bodies that you heal them, Lord. from the inside out. I also lift up any listeners that may be struggling with financial burdens. And God, I just ask that you move that mountain for them, that that mountain is moved and that they can be a good steward of your money, Lord. Also, Lord, I just lift up anyone that has a broken heart. A lot of my listeners message me and they ask for prayer and they just have a broken heart. And God, we know that you mend hearts. That's your specialty. You mend broken hearts. And we ask for any other prayer requests to have favor. We ask for your favor, Lord. We ask favor from men and women and that we just love one another. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Damon. Okay, so idioms. Like I said, you're going to be blessed. Stay tuned. Here's my friend Idioms.
Good morning. This is Tina Levine with Tina Talks Truth Radio Show, and we have such a special guest with us today, Damon. Damon is a father, a husband, a faithful follower of Jesus Christ, my brother in Christ, and a rapper. And your rapping name is Idioms. So good morning, Damon.
Good morning to you.
Thank you so much for being on the show, and if you could share with everyone, how did you get to the name Idioms? How did this come about?
Well, first of all, it's my pleasure to be with you, and the name is kind of interesting because I've been doing this rap thing for a lot of years, more than I care to tell you, but one of the things that I've always tried to do is be unique in my presentation, not like everybody else, not following the trends. So I like to come up with titles and names and things of that nature that kind of have an undercurrent or meaning to them. Idioms, which is my stage name, if you're familiar with the English language, an idiom is a grammatical term. If you've ever heard the expression like a bull in a china shop, that's an example of an idiom. But if you look up the word idioms in the Merriam-Webster dictionary, it goes a little bit deeper. It says it's the language of a peculiar people. And as Christ followers, we're peculiar people because I am a rapper, I'm an MC. It is my voice, it is my language that I share in order to give my message of hope. And so I thought idioms was appropriate because I am being the voice, I am being the language of a peculiar people, if that makes sense.
I love it. Oh my goodness. I just love that. And it's so true, you know, as hope seekers and hope givers and followers of Jesus, we have to be, I can't say the word, but I know what it means. But yes, I just love that. That is awesome. And actually, David is the one that wrote and produced my introduction song, the Tina Talks Truth radio show song. Okay, David, I just got to tell you, that blessed me in a way that you have no clue, because I was going through a really dark period, and for you to step up and say, you know what, I want to do the introduction song to your radio show, it blew me away. It touched me, and then when I heard the final product, I was like, wow! I'm thinking, okay, it's going to be like 5 seconds. I mean, I don't know. I've seen you live. We met over a year ago, and through mutual friends, you know, Danielle, and you performed at a community event that I was holding for youth in foster care. And it's not that I didn't have expectations of you, because I've heard you live. I heard your talents and your gifts, but you blew me away. If you could just share with our audience, what's the process to, because I literally gave you 4 words. I'm like, okay, it's Tina Talks Truth Radio Show, hope, joy, laughter, and healing. Take us through that process of how you came about with that introduction song, and it just is unbelievable. So if you could just share with us, like, do you sit down, do you write, does it just come to you? What does it look like?
Well, absolutely. Well, first of all, it was an honor and a privilege. I was so excited when you first reached out to me and had mentioned, you know, it would be cool if you could come up with the song. And I was just like, wow, this is amazing. So the funny thing is you talk about being in a dark period and being blessed by the finished product. I was kind of in a period myself. I had not written anything in quite a while. Typically, my writing process, I do 2 things. One, I try to write 4 verses a day or 4 bars a day, if you will. And the bar is the timing signature in the music when you're writing hip hop songs or rap music. But at any rate, I try to do that just so that I can stay fresh. It's skill building, skill maintenance, or something of that nature. I hadn't even done that. So when you asked me to be a part of the introduction, I saw it as a challenge. And so what I did was basically I came up with the music first. I had the perfect idea of the music. I wanted something that was quirky, a little bit fun, a little bit upbeat, but at the same time, not too heavy or not too extreme, so that it could be accepted by, you know, just about anybody that listened to it. And then when you gave me the words, that was kind of like the catalyst. I would say, you gave me those four words. And then I just said a quick prayer. I was literally sitting at my desk at work, and I said a quick prayer. And I said, God, if you see a fit, just give me something to piece together with these words. And I started writing. Now, truth be told, I probably wrote 6 or 7 verses before we got to the finished product. But that's just the perfectionist in me. But it was pretty natural. The way that I write is I allow the spirit to flow through me, and I don't want to convey any message that is not spirit led. And so, you know, after I said the prayer and the writing began, it became easy. I don't want it to seem like it's a no brainer process, because it's not. It can be difficult sometimes, but in this particular case for your song, it was just the easy thing to do, and I'm glad it turned out the way it did.
You know, everyone that hears it, they're like, that is so you. And for you to say it was quirky, fun, and upbeat, I'm like, you know what? That's exactly how I want people to listen to Tina Talks Truth Radio. So I want to be quirky and fun and upbeat, but also inspirational and just provide hope and at the same time glorify God. Because, you know, as you know, without Him, we are nothing. We are literally nothing. And He can work some pretty incredible miracles in our lives. And you're actually going to be going on a mission trip the last week in August to Canada. Now, when people think of mission trips, they're like Haiti or Philippines or, you know, like, but you're going to Canada. Can you share with us why Canada and what are you going to be doing on that mission trip?
Oh, absolutely. And you're absolutely right. Whenever I say I'm going on a mission trip, that's the first thing people think of is, oh, yeah, you're going to a third world country. No, I'm going to the developed world. I'm going to a first world country. I'm going to Canada. And it's kind of interesting the way it came about. About a year or so ago, I had a trip to Nashville. And I went to Nashville to learn how to expand my stage, if you will, learn how to reach more people, and try to get an opportunity to be a part of a global world tour that goes out and basically uses music to spread, you know, the message of hope and the love of Christ to folks that might not otherwise hear that message or have access to it. A lot of different things happened as a result of that trip. And one of the things that happened is I actually went to Canada last year. I had no idea what to expect. I went to Ottawa, which is the provincial capital of the country, if you will. And there's a neighborhood there called Lower Town. Lower Town is probably what you would consider the equivalent of project housing here in the U.S. But it's a very large and diverse immigration population. I went there initially thinking that I was just, you know, going to go and do a show and, you know, sell some merchandise or what have you. But my mind was blown when I got there, just by the reception of the people, by the ministry of the folks that were putting on the events that we were taking place with, and just the overall experience. Needless to say, we had a great time. And just a few months ago, I got a message, and they were like, hey, they're asking for you to come back. Do you think you can make it? My jaw hit the floor because I'm like, wow, really? So that's how I'm going back. But I'm going back with a different perspective last time, you know, as an artist and a entertainer. But I'm going back this time as a missionary, or I've dubbed this term now called musicianary, where I'm combining my musical talents with my missionary drive to go and to actually serve the community. And I'm so looking forward to it, because I'm going to a place, like I said, it's a large immigrant population. There are immigrant groups from Somalia and from the Middle East and from Haiti and, you know, just from places like that. They're all crunched together into this little community. And the group that's sponsoring it, they're called Move In. It's an international ministry, but they're based out of Canada. And what Move In does is they set up safe houses in these communities. And the ministry workers actually move into these houses. And their goal, their purpose for being in the middle of the community is to serve from the inside out. Whatever the community needs, however, you know, they need to provide that. They are there to provide that service to the community. And that's why I fell in love with the opportunity to go back, because it's a simple concept. We read about it in the Acts Church, how, you know, everybody came together, pooled their resources, and gave back to the community. But you don't really see that much in the Western Church anymore. So what they're doing here in Lower Town in Ottawa, Canada, what they're doing there in Ottawa is not necessarily unique, but it's so amazing and so right on time. And so I'm going to go back at the end of August, and I'm taking Bibles with me. I'm taking Bibles in the Arabic language and in the French language. And then I'm taking Bibles that are appropriate for children and for teens in the English language. And that's going to be my gift to them, because that's the need that the coordinator said they needed. But I'm also going to serve. I will probably perform while I'm there, to be honest with you. But I'm not looking forward to the performance part. I'm going to be there for 5 days, and I may have 20 to 30 minutes on stage. But what I'm looking forward to is the other 4.5 days or the other 3 days of being able to share the hope of Jesus with the people in Lower Town, to be able to serve that community, to provide them with resources such as book bags for the kids or clothing or we even distribute food. We distributed food last year, and that's something that's on the agenda to do again this year. I'm really looking forward to the opportunity to just go in and to serve them however they need it. You know, not come in with my ideas of how they need to be served, but go in with the understanding that God will guide me and the moving crew and what we need to do in order to serve the community. So I'm looking forward to that. I know I said a lot, but I'm excited about it, as you can tell.
Yeah, well, you should be. And that is just incredible. And I love your servant's heart and that you're willing to go anywhere. You know, wherever God's going to lead you, you're going to go. And
musicianary.
Musicianary. I love it. That is just incredible. And, you know, these safe houses are just so needed for these immigrants, and especially safe people for these immigrants to be around and to provide all of these basic needs, just food and clothes and, like you said, Bibles in their own language. I think a lot of times people just look at immigrants like, okay, you know, they speak a different language and maybe they dress different, but there's so many other differences, values, culture differences. You know, there's so much more that is with immigration, and for them to have safe people like you, safe houses, and have, you know, the basic needs provided to them, that is just such a blessing. So 5 days, we'll keep you in prayer. We'll lift you up in prayer. I'm sure you're going to touch many, many hearts, but you know what? You're going to be blessed as well. Isn't that pretty cool how God does that?
That is amazing. And that was one of the points that I left out. Like I said, I went last year without having any expectation other than I thought I was going to be a performer. And I walked away a changed man. That trip really, you know, opened my eyes to how God works, and just amazed that the people of that community were so much more of a blessing to me than I could have ever been to them. So you're absolutely right.
Yes, it's so cool. It's like we're those horses with the blinders on, and we just kind of see what's put in front of us. But God sees the whole picture, and he's like, no, I'm orchestrating this masterpiece, and you're going to be blessed, and you just wait. You know, it's just so cool to see how these mission trips really touch people's hearts, and it's not just the missionaries. It's the people there as well, and each other, you know, the missionaries with one another. You're going to be moved and blessed by others, too, that are there to serve. Now, you do have a song, Sticks and Stones, that you're going to actually share right now on my show, and we're going to play that. But if you would be so kind to do an introduction to the song before our listeners hear it.
Absolutely. So Sticks and Stones is a song that I wrote out of witnessing something in my son's life. It's very personal, And I'm actually still, you know, faithful and prayerful that things in my son's life will work out the way that they're supposed to. I know they will, because God said he'll never leave us or forsake us. But when my son was in high school, he was diagnosed with a learning disability, and because of that, he oftentimes was bullied. He's a smart kid, bright kid, lovable kid, but his learning disability is his ADD and a culmination of things that were going on at home. This kind of ended up being a perfect storm, and so he was easily subjected to bullying. And so this song is kind of the experience that he was going through, and when you listen to the song, you'll notice that it doesn't necessarily end like you would think that a song would end, that's because the story is still being written. And I believe that, you know, God will give me an opportunity to share the climax or the ending to to his story very soon. But I just wanted to bring attention to the fact that bullying is real, and, you know, we're not necessarily doing such a great job of dealing with it. And this is from his perspective. So it can sound a little bit dark, but it's not. It's really a cry for help. And I've heard it, and I wrote this song because I wanted my son to know that I heard his cry. I'm going to walk through the valley with him until we can come up with a solution.
Oh, I love that. I just love that introduction. Okay, so I'm going to let our listeners listen to it, and then we'll be right back.
Sick of it, it's counterfeit. Subjected to throwing a deli to this boy. It's they mocking me, spending all their time and effort stalking me. Did Jesus walk with me? Then why these feelings? I'm alone. Everywhere I go, I gotta watch my back because they coming for me. Devils in the skies, he got his minions and they gunning for me. Running towards me, turn like a sword as they curse me. Sticks and stones may break me, but they're worse, they really hurt me. My friends desert me, so all I'm left with is an inkling. And battling with these bullies and my suicidal thinking. A social outcast, my own family ain't feeling me. My mind is fertile ground, the devil's planning evil season me. Nobody even sees me to notice I'm a trouble. Hiding behind a smile, it's not the bust, nobody's bubble. Yet my pain is double every time I face the situation. I grow impatient for it and I'm sick of waiting. Every day the same story and I'm sick of it. It's counterfeit, subjected on a daily to this bullish. They mocking me, spending all their time and effort stalking me. If Jesus walks with me, then why these feelings? I'm alone. Everywhere I go, gotta watch my back because they coming for me. Devil in disguise, he got his minions and they gunning for me. Running towards me, turn like a sword as they curse me. Sticks and stones may break me, but their words, they really hurt me. Keep it hustle, they won't bother me. But still they start with me and it's the same old situation. Avoiding escalation is my goal, they make it hard for me. With every word it's like they cut away another part of me. It's taking all of me from going ham up on these ninjas. The more that I resist, the more I feel I must surrender. But to who? If I give these crap the upper hand, they'll hang me up just like the clan. But I ain't going out just like a sucker. So I unleash the beast and undergo a transformation. Anywhere but here will be my final destination. So without no hesitation I proceed to fight back. But the more that I defend myself, the more that they attack. My spirit's out of whack, I lack the confidence for fighting. I grab a pen, my suicide note is what I'm writing. Father, please forgive me, I can take another minute. Since you haven't intervened, I have no choice but just to end it. Every day the same story and I'm sick of it. It's counterfeit, subjected going a daily to this bullish. They mocking me, spending all their time and effort stalking me. If Jesus walk with me, then why these feelings? I'm alone. Everywhere I go, gotta watch my back because they coming for me. Devil in disguise, he got his minions and they gunning for me. Running towards me, come like a sword as they curse me. Sticks and stones may break me, but their words, they really hurt me.
Well, thank you so much, Damon. And that is the song Sticks and Stones. And I love that you, in the introduction, said that you heard his cry. And sometimes, especially young people, they don't usually have a voice or feel like they have a voice. But to actually say as a father to their son that I heard your cry, that is so touching, just to have a solution and to be that role model to him as a follower of Christ. It's just phenomenal, and I just love it. It's very, very touching. So what did your son think of the song after he heard it?
Well, my son is biased. He loves everything I do. I do as an entertainer. So, you know, he still has a hard time understanding that the song was written about him. For him and from his perspective, he just thinks it's a cool song. So.
Oh, cute. That's awesome. Well, there's actually four questions that I ask all of my guests. And the first one is, what brings you hope?
You know, that's a great question. And this answer is going to be the perfect textbook, you know, Christianese in the church answer, but it's the truth. And what really brings me hope is knowing that Jesus was willing to give his all so that I can have a relationship with him. And when I'm down and out and when the world is really, you know, pressing in on me, and it does that a lot lately, I just remember Jesus, and I'm just filled with this. I don't even know how to describe this feeling, but I'm just filled with this feeling that says, it's going to be okay. You know, I'm okay with going through the trials. I'm okay with going through the tribulations, but it's going to be okay because Jesus. And that's what brings me hope.
Oh, I love it. And it's so true. I don't know about you, but because I was atheist for many years and then I became a believer, I kind of had this idea that, oh, my life is going to be perfect. Crazy, right? And I was like, oh, once I'm a Christian, everything's going to fall together. I'm never going to have financial problems. I'm never, you know, I just, for some reason, it was probably the enemy set me up. I just thought, oh, everything's going to be perfect. And I had that hope. And then I kept reading the Bible about, you know, God and Jesus saying, when there's trouble, when there's trials, when there's tribulations, and I'm like, but wait a minute, that's not supposed to happen.
I think that's the common misconception. When I am out with the community and I'm doing these events, one of the biggest things is, well, you know, you guys are supposed to be perfect. I'm like, who told you that lie? Jesus didn't promise perfection to us. He promised that we would go through trials for his name's sake. He told us that we would be tested, but he also promised us that he would always be there. That we would always find joy in him. He never promised that we would be perfect people because he was the only perfect man. But he did promise that he would always be there for us through those times. And, you know, that's kind of like the aha moment for people, because now that burden has been lifted off their shoulders and they don't have to strive for a standard of perfection. They're free to be them. And in being themselves, then they can truly appreciate the love of Christ that he died for us so that we could be free.
Absolutely. And that he came back for us and that he's going to come back again for us.
Absolutely.
That is just the hope. You know, that is right there is the hope that I live for, you know, every day. And you mentioned this about joy, and I know that's one of the many promises that God gives us, is that we're going to feel joy in a sense of freedom. What brings you joy?
So I think it's important for people to understand that there is a very real difference between joy and happiness. You know, a lot of time we interchange the two very easily, and it's easy for us to confuse the fact that we can be happy without joy. Or at the same time, we can have joy and not necessarily be in a happy situation. And again, I think what brings me joy is the fact that I have been able to be the light on a hill, be the city on the top of a hill that the light is not easily extinguished. You know, I'm not perfect. I've never claimed to be perfect. I just told you that my son has gone through problems, and I feel responsible for that. You know, you mentioned finances. My financial situation is like a roller coaster, and I love roller coasters, but this one I'm sick of. I'm ready to get off of. But at the end of the day, I am able to honestly profess the love of Christ because he's given me the voice and the opportunity to do so. And I find so much joy in that. There's a fulfillment in being able to spread his message and spread his love, even when people aren't necessarily receptive to it. But I know that just because they're not receptive at that point, the seed has been sown, and God will cultivate that seed as he sees fit. And I just find a joy knowing that, you know, all things work for his good.
I love it, yes. We are just to plant the seed. God will water it, and he will harvest it. It will grow abundantly, and it's so true. You know, especially financially, that was one of the things I've been watching a lot of videos and reading a lot about, is speaking to that financial burden, that mountain, to move, get out of my way. I'm tired of climbing you. It's over. It's done. And it's just, you know, praying to be that good steward of money for God. And wow, you know, that's hard when you have a giving heart. You know, that was one of the things that my husband and I always joked about is we'll never be millionaires because we always give, give, give. But you know what? Hey, you know what, God? I'm talking to you right now. If you want to test me on that, I'd be more than happy to just, you know, you could test me anytime. And just make me a millionaire and we'll see. But, you know, when you have a heart of giving and being a servant, you know, that's the most important. I just look at heaven, wow, I'm going to have one huge crown, you know. The palace that I'm going to be living in is going to be big and nice. But we've experienced a lot of this during this interview is laughter. But I've also watched videos of you performing, and I know this is important to you. So what brings you laughter?
Oh, wow. What brings me laughter? I don't know really how to articulate that. I look for the humor in life. I mean, if you don't, then what the world has to offer is full of gloom and doom and despair and all those negative adjectives that I wish I didn't even know. But you know, I grew up in a single parent household. My mom and I were the only two until I was 13 when she, you know, got married. And she always had a smile on her face, regardless of our situation. And I think I kind of learned through that experience and through her example, you know, that even though times can be tough, there are still opportunities to find laughter and happiness in those moments. And so I just kind of purposely look for it. I mean, I've been in car accidents where I wrapped my car around a tree and I was able to walk away with nothing but a scratch on my hand, and looking back at the car like, wow, God, really? And just crack up laughing because there's no way I should have walked away, you know, from that experience with more injuries, but I did. And I just bust out in laughter because it was funny to me how, you know, when God says he wants to protect his own, he does it. Or, you know, when he puts the plan in motion, it's going to happen. And, you know, I always say God had the ultimate sense of humor, but yeah, I'm looking for it in everything.
Absolutely, especially in dark moments like that. I can't think of anything, you know, darker than wrapping your car around a tree. There are roads that you could drive on, Damon.
Oh, I could tell you that story, and you wouldn't believe me if I told you, but we'll just say, glory be to God, I walked away with a little scratch on my hand. That was it.
Oh, praise God. Isn't that amazing? He's so good.
He is.
So, so good that he protects us when we have no idea there's even going to be tragedy or doom or gloom, like you said, but we still find the laughter in those dark moments. What about healing? How do people know that they're healed or they're healing from a circumstance?
You know, I think healing is different for each person. I carried a lot of hurt. I carried a lot of hurt with regards to my son. If I can go back just a little bit, I have five children, but only one biologically belongs to me. The rest are stepchildren. Unfortunately, I had my son out of wedlock, and I was up to no good, and you know, the result of me being up to no good was his conception. I carried a lot of hurt and animosity towards his mom for many, 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 many years, and I was not willing to forgive her, and I was not willing to come to a place where I could accept healing. It wasn't until my first wife passed away back in 2009, I think it was, and my son began really acting out and having these challenges in school and with his circumstances, that I realized that it was petty for me to hold on to that anger and to hold on to that desire to not heal. And so I made a choice, and it's not that easy for everybody, but I made a choice. I prayed over it, and I asked God. I said, I don't know what healing looks like. I don't know what true forgiveness looks like, even though your son was the model of that for me. All I know is that something needs to change. And it's been an ongoing process. I mean, here we are in 2017, and I'm doing a lot better now than I was, you know, back in 2009. But am I completely healed? No. But I know that I'm going through the process because there's just, you know, when you're carrying boxes around on your shoulders, you feel the weight of those boxes. And at first it's okay because, you know, you're big and you're strong and, you know, you can support whatever. But after you've done it for a while, the weight starts to weigh down on you. A perfect example is when Moses, they had to hold his hands up. And as long as he was holding his hands up, they were winning the battle. But, you know, when his muscles got tired and he wanted to droop, they would start to slip behind in the battle, so we needed help. And I think having a good church body around me, a body of believers, folks who didn't claim to be perfect but had a genuine love for Christ, that is where I was able to truly experience healing, because I couldn't do it by myself. And so I think when I look back and I reflect, I think just having those folks that were able to come around me, they didn't always have the answers, but they were there, you know, when I needed them most. And I think that's when I was able to experience the healing, because they showed me, you know, God's love through being there and through being open to my struggles and not telling me that, you know, if I was a good Christian and you would do this, that, and the other. They just said it's okay to be angry. It's okay to not have the answers. It's okay, you know, not to want this in your life at the moment. And we'll be here for you when you're ready to change your mind about that, when you're ready to allow, you know, Christ into your heart. So, yeah, having that body of believers around me, I think that's the key.
Mm. Wow. Well, thank you for sharing that. And what a touching story. First and foremost, I'm so sorry to hear about your first wife passing away. And that's just, it's heartbreaking for your son had experienced that loss. But like you said, carrying that heavy load and like Moses, you know, the church family just showing that love, and especially when there's unexpected death, you experience that anger, like, why me, or what, you know, what's going to come of this, you know, and you get angry. And I love that your church family just engulfed you in love and allowed you to be angry at that moment. The validation is, you know, what we need is just, okay, I'm human, and this is my flesh, and I'm angry right now. It's important then for our church family to help us through that process, and it sounds like you have been blessed to have that church family and that body of Christ just surround you and just love on you when love was probably the furthest thing from your mind at that point. But you are going on this mission trip the last week in August. You're a rapper and just doing so many incredible things in the community. I love seeing your videos and your promotional items that you're doing, all of this incredible inspirational stuff in the community. And you're a father and a husband. And how can we pray for you?
The one thing that I will ask for with regards to prayer, and this has been on my heart a lot recently, is pray with me that Jesus will guide everything that I do. I used to pray for opportunity, and I used to pray for breakthrough, and I used to pray for all these things, but I realized that all of that was self-centered, and that maybe I was praying the wrong prayer. If I pray for Jesus to be the focal point of everything that I do, then all that other stuff that's on the outskirts and on the edges will fall into place. Because when Jesus is in it, then, you know, it's bound to end up the way that it's supposed to end up. So that's my prayer. That's what, if your listeners and you want to pray something for me, just pray that Jesus will be the guide of everything that I do.
Oh, I love that. And that is a very similar prayer that I've been trying to have every time I either go on stage to speak or my radio shows, that I stand in the shadow of Jesus and that he's the light and that
absolutely,
I reflect his light. Because for anyone that's listening, any of us that go up on stage, it's a struggle, you know? I mean, it's a struggle to be up there in front of hundreds and thousands of people and performing or speaking and just reminding yourself that Jesus is the light and I'm just a reflection. I need to stand in the shadow of the cross and just allow that cross to be the focal point. And so we will definitely lift you up in prayer, my brother. And I thank you for taking time to speak with us. We're going to lift you up in prayer for your mission trip the end of August. And I'm so excited. Will you come back on the show like September so that we can hear about the mission trip?
Oh, wow. I would be honored. Sure, absolutely.
Okay. Awesome. Okay, well, let's plan on that, because I would love to hear a report of how it went and how it was a blessing to so many and to yourself, if that's okay.
Sounds good to me.
Okay, and thank you so much. And once again, this is Idioms, and we're going to play the introduction song at the end of this interview, because y'all just got to hear it again. Every time I hear it, I hear something new, and I'm like, I just love this song. So thank you so much for blessing me, and thank you for blessing the world, and just God, just keep blessing this man.
Thank you. I thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you, Damon, for sharing your hope and joy and laughter and healing. Weren't you blessed? Damon, just keep rocking it, man. I mean, you sharing about how you practice 4 bars a day, or you write 4 bars a day, and just practice every day on skill building with your rap. It is a ministry. I love how he says about it. It's a musicianary. I love that. That you should totally get that copyrighted. Maybe you did. I don't know. But I love that. And I love that you're being obedient. It reminds me of Psalm 128:1. Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in obedience to him. Thank you for walking in obedience, Damon. And thank you so much for the introduction song. I love it. It is exactly like you said, quirky, fun, upbeat. It makes me just smile. So thank you so much for your obedient heart and your servant's heart. And I thank you for listening. Tune in every Wednesday at 10 a.m. One Jam Nation Radio, or you can listen to any of my radio show interviews on TinaTalksTruth.com under my radio show page. All right, I hope you have a blessed day. Here's Victor.
This is Victor with Tina Talks Truth, and the truth is, sticks and stones may break my bones, but bullies cannot hurt me.
Aw, Victor.
The truth is, there is hope.
God saved you from every situation, and he's going to use your experiences, your mess, and he's going to make it into his message, and you're going to help people.
Tina Talks Truth, live from the booth, always pizza and proof. She's bringing to you words of encouragement with the funny twisted features, so like it's nourishment. While you're listening, I hope you catch a feeling, cause Tina Talks Truth about hope, truth, and healing. So I hope you're tuning in to the radio. Tina Talks Truth is the only way to go.